few weeks ago, we started a series of lessons called Midnight Bible Stories. And there's a lot of them in the Bible. And we've been spending quite a bit of time with one particular story found in Joshua 2 of Rahab and the two spies and their interaction. And the whole scene between Rahab and the two spies that we have recorded in Scripture occurs in a midnight setting, if you will. Midnight, we define it as a darkest hour of the night in literal terms, but it can be defined as that such in figurative terms and in spiritual terms. But Rahab, if you're not familiar with the story, hid the two spies and identified with them, knowing that they were children of the living God. She wanted to be part of that group somehow, if at all possible, and it was. And the conclusion of the story of Rahab, I guess, is found in Matthew, the first chapter, where she's found to be one of the grandmothers of Jesus. But the beginning and the genesis of all that took place in this midnight Bible story found in Joshua 2 concerning Rahab and the two spies. We've mentioned many times here how the two spies were not very good at spies. And they're also called messengers. And everybody seems to know who they were, where they were, or they'd gone into the house of Rahab. And I want to kind of quickly review Rahab, starting in verse 6, we find what she did with the two spies. And this is in Joshua 2, 6. And it says, "But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof." Now, we talked about the stalks of flax last week and the transformation that takes place to take stalks of flax and end up with fine linen. There's a four-step process there. And so if you get a chance, go back and review what we had to say about them. Rahab had lied, basically, to the people that came to her house and inquiring about the two spies and told them they went out another way and, you can go catch up with them. In verse 7, she says, we find that they believed Rahab, and the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And after they were gone out, they shut the gate. Now, here's their midnight Bible story here. "And before they were laid down, she came up to them upon the roof, and she said unto the men," the two spies, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land." Now, that's faith, and that's reality. But that was before the fact, "And that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." Now, this was the kind of information that Joshua had sent the spies to find out. And she blurted it out in one sentence here, what was going on with everybody. For it says in verse 10, "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt." And that was some 40 years earlier. There was a record of the children of Israel, where they were and what had gone on with them for 40 years. And now they're on the other side of the Jordan opposite Jericho. And "What ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Note this part of it. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You can't get any more of a statement of faith than that. Who did she believe in right there? She says, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our lives for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, see, they had faith too, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Who backed up this promise? God, exactly. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelled upon the wall. Remember the story of Jericho in chapter 6, how the walls went down, crashing down, imploded. Remember? Okay. Well, she didn't live in a very good place to survive that deal, did she? But God took care of her. And she said unto them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst set, let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came to the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. And so when the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over, they came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us, according to the words of Rahab, found in verse 9. Okay, let me get my notes together here. Find in the story of Rahab, in this midnight story, some hidden aspects of what it takes to be a full overcomer. That's one of the reasons this story is so important to us. And if you think about it, she's one of a very few that are left by the Holy Spirit as one of the highlighted examples in Scripture of one who possesses qualities found in a worthy of faith. And so in that regard, she is highlighted and is an example to those who would be a New Testament worthy of faith found in the Bride of Christ. We find in Proverbs 31, if you'll turn there, qualities of a virtuous woman. Now, you wouldn't think on the surface that Rahab possessed such qualities, but God knew her heart. And she had these qualities, and we will show them here as we go through this. And this, you'll see that Rahab possessed qualities of a virtuous woman. Proverbs 31:13 tells us of the virtuous woman. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Now remember, flax is the raw material from which comes fine linen. In Proverbs 13:19, we find of the virtuous woman that she layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. In Proverbs 31:24, she maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. And in verse 30, we find that she was a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. We find these qualities in Rahab. She and we find that Rahab worked willingly with her hands, and she made fine linen. Otherwise, why go to all the trouble of collecting flax to begin with, you know? And obviously, as we read this morning, she was a woman that feared the Lord. You know, she said, I know that the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath, and that he has given you the land. And so notice also the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31 was also concerned for the care of others of her household, as is noted in Proverbs 31:15, she riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. In verse 21, we find she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. And in verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not of the bread of idleness. Well, we just read about Rahab, that she was also concerned for the cares of others of her household, too, as is told in Joshua 2:12 and 13, where it says, Rahab speaking, now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. She loved her family, okay? And she was concerned for them, and she wanted to make a request on her behalf to save her family too, you see? And so the two spies agreed to Rahab's request, as is we read there in Joshua 2:18 and 19. You can go back to Joshua 2 because I think we're done with Proverbs 31 for a while. And it says in Joshua 2:18, behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thine house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. Now they had faith to trust the Lord that this would be, and this would happen also, didn't they? So we're dealing with people that had a little bit of faith here. And you know, if you go to Joshua 6, when Jericho was conquered, we find that Rahab's household was saved as promised. Joshua 6:22 says, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman And all as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. Drop down to verse 25. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So we see truly Rahab displayed the qualities of a virtuous woman. Now, let's go back in Joshua 2 in our midnight Bible story and see exactly what Rahab did with her stalks of flax. I mean, she hid the two spies in them, we know that. She, as we have shown previously, Rahab had hid or treasured up the two spies with the stalks of flax. The fact that's mentioned in Joshua 2:6. And then in Joshua 2:15 and 2:18 and 21, those three verses, we find exactly what she had turned these stalks of flax into. And then we'll spend some time discussing this. She then let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was on the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Verse 18. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. This cord was a line of scarlet thread, we find. And thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, and thy brethren, and all thy household home unto thee. And then in verse 21, and she said, according to your words, so be it. And when she sent them away, they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window, this cord, this more or less rope, yeah, that she'd made. And in my possession, I have a Bible cyclopedia written by a guy named A.R. Fawcett. Its date on it is 1903. And it says this concerning Rahab. It's a dictionary. The flax she spread upon her earth, on her roof, and the scarlet line made it likely she manufactured linen and dyed it, as did the Phoenicians of her day. So that's the end of my quoting from him. So this is what she did with, manufactured linen. And it seems Rahab had worked with her hands and made thread of the flax, colored it scarlet, worked it together to make a cord strong enough to bear the weight of two escaping spies. And it's not too hard for us to imagine this resourceful woman, Rahab, making curtains or other things from the fine linen. And also, perhaps, having a decorative rope from which to suspend them by, or to tie back the curtains. And this is probably how it was with her. And obviously, she had a cord of scarlet line of thread by which the two spies escaped. Now, the important thing is what is typified here. The Holy Spirit wants us to see that there was a cord made of lines of scarlet thread, and thus three descriptions of the same thing are found in these three verses that we read. Sometimes we don't get it with the first time we're told, so we're told a different way the second time, and we're told a different way the third time, then we go, oh, okay, I get it. Maybe, maybe not even then, you know. But we mentioned that the linen manufactured from the stalks of flax pictures righteousness. I think we mentioned that last week. And in this particular study, it is representative of the righteousness, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ and to all and upon all them that believe. And that statement is taken from Romans 3:22. And then there's a significance to the color scarlet. To obtain this particular color of scarlet, how did that happen? Well, there was a certain kind of insect that was killed and dried and crushed to make the dye the color of scarlet or crimson. But to us, the scarlet line speaks of the blood which Jesus shed for the sin of the world. In Isaiah 1:18, why don't you turn there so you can see this, and this will help tie these thoughts together. Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18 says this, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Scarlet signifies sacrifice. Specifically, Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, which sacrifice will land every believer safely in heaven. Okay? Scarlet speaks of Christ's blood, in other words. Turn to the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 3. And we read a statement concerning the bride there. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 3. Here we read, "Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely." Sister Mooney Ann, Rod and Kathy's, Rod's grandmother, was a teacher in the Grace and Glory Bible College. She wrote a commentary on the Song of Solomon. And in her commentary of this verse, she notes that she speaks of Calvary. This, "Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely." She speaks of Calvary. That is her theme. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The wonderful truth of Calvary is our salvation. All who acknowledge the blood of Jesus will be saved in the day of judgment. And this is a quote quoting from Sister Mooneyham. Now, back to Joshua 2. In verses 18 and 21, we find the line, and that the line in the scarlet line comes from a Hebrew word expressing hope or expectation, and it is translated "the thing that I long for" in Job 6:8. The thing that I long for is that same Hebrew word, Job 6:8. Well, in 1 Timothy 1:11, we read of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And that is our expectation from on high. And then one more meaning coming from the Hebrew word translated into our English as line in this portion of Joshua 2:18 and 21 is things hoped for. And that takes us straight right to the definition of faith found in Hebrews 11:1. For it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's our line, if you will, okay? This scarlet line in our midnight Bible story of Joshua 2, then, is a picture of faith, isn't it? And one whose picture is found there in Hebrews 11 is the Rahab harlot In Hebrews 11:31, it says, "By faith, the harlot Rahab would perish not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace." Here's something that I found very interesting as I searched this out. The Hebrew word translated line in verse 18 and 21 of Joshua 2, it's also found in 33 Old Testament scriptures. Kind of, this thing keeps coming up, doesn't it? We've talked about 33 a couple different times in this study. 33, again, is the number of promise. This scarlet line, then, is left as a picture of faith. And the heavenly promise which it represents. And we read this statement in 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. That was 1 John 2:25. I guess there's another thing we need to make note of concerning the word scarlet found in both verse 18 and 21 of Joshua 2. The word, the Hebrew word for scarlet is found in 42 Old Testament scriptures. And that's rather interesting in that the number 42 has to do in one fashion or another with heavenly appearance. So this scarlet line then is left as a picture of faith, the heavenly promise which it represents, and it carries with it the hope of a heavenly appearance. Think of it like the Apostle Paul wrote it in Titus 2:13. Because our Apostle Paul constantly was looking for a heavenly appearance, as are we all, I hope, the soon appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he says in Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. the word glorious in Titus 2:13 in the Greek translates this portion to the appearance of the glory of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ, to the, his appearance. In Rahab's case, she had no hope but in the Lord God. And as she stated in her confession of faith in verse 11, "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." She was looking to heaven for her help, for her salvation, for her deliverance from this being stuck in Jericho. If you go to Joshua 6:1, you'll find that there was no escape from the city of Jericho, because it says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in." They were hostages in their own city, if you will. But there was a way of escape from the judgment of God, which Sister Bodhi pointed out in her study of the book of Joshua. And that was the window opened for faith wherein hung that scarlet line. This sign or token is to hang there as a protection to that house when the messengers of judgment come to Jericho. There is a scarlet line for faith to hang on, running all down through the ages since the fall of our first parents, Adam and Eve. And that scarlet line is the blood, the sure and only safe token that will secure a poor sinner in the day of judgment, of which fact the word of God continually testifies. That's the end of quoting what Sister Bodhi had to say. When we consider the testimony of Rahab, the scripture of 2 Peter 3:9 should come to mind. 2 Peter 3:9 says this, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We got a few minutes left. I want to consider now the window from which Rahab attached the scarlet line. And there's some things that the window represents. And before we go too far with this, and you can verify this in your own time, but the word window is found in our King James Version of the Bible 16 times. What is the number 16? Love. I'm glad you guys know that now. Love. What's the Word of God all about? Love. I mean, if we can ever just get that much of it, for God so loved the world, you know, we can kind of get a little bit of better grasp of what heaven will be like. Love. And I guess what I'm trying to say here is when we find the word window in Scripture, we should look also very close at what surrounds those verses, because the love of God is being manifested in these surrounding verses, almost without exception, if you'll look at it. And there are three verses in the story, this midnight Bible story of Rahab and the two spies. There's three verses where Rahab's window is mentioned in Joshua 2. Joshua 2:15, Joshua 2:18, and Joshua 2:21. Joshua 2:15, she let them down by a cord through the window of her house, was up on the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Verse 18, "Behold, when we come into the land, that thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." And in verse 21, "And she said, according to your word, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window." So the window is figurative of something. Now, the window, you know what a window is. It can be defined as an opening in a building. In 1 Corinthians 3:9 tells us, "Ye are God's building." It can be an opening in a vessel, "For we are now earthen vessels." And you find that several times in Scripture. And the window oftentimes contains a pane or panes of glass, and it is usually framed so it can be opened or shut. And we all know what a window is, but we probably will have a little different opinion of a window after we read this and see this. One of the purposes of a window, generally speaking, is for letting in light and also for letting in fresh air, refreshing fresh air. Think of the window from a spiritual perspective. We know a window is for letting in light. And I'll give you some scriptures that point out that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's John 1:9. If you let his light shine in your heart. John 1:4 also says this, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And we'll have to get into this thought of the window more next time, if the Lord tarries till the next time. In the meantime, keep looking for that blessed hope.